How we long that you may be encouraged and find out more and more how strong are the bonds of Christian love. How we long for you to grow more certain in your knowledge and more sure in your grasp of God Himself. May your spiritual experience become richer as you see more and more fully God's great secret, Christ Himself. For it is in Him and in Him alone that men find all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here now is David Johnston, teaching on your selected topic to help you in your walk with Christ.
The value of understanding. We're going to do the value of understanding this Sunday and next Sunday, and then the third Sunday is how to get understanding. And there are specific steps laid out in the Scripture on how to get understanding. And then, if we have time, we'll make time somewhere. We will do what is it that you need to understand? A categorical list of what matters you need to have understanding about in order to be successful not only in this life, but in the one that's next. So, let's begin today with the value of understanding. These are great benefits. The reason I want to spend so much time on the value is because today there's so many people not pursuing understanding. And if you can see the value, my hope is that it will motivate you. Amen. I'm supposed to tell you, I have a birthday this week. Is that why you're staring at me kind of funny? I'm having a birthday this week. Now, this I don't mind this birthday. Let me tell you why. I have gone all year thinking that I was 62 and that I was going to turn 63 this year. And I found out that I'm only 61. I'm turning 62. And I've been living 62 for a year already. So I don't mind this birthday at all. It's like I got to skip one year, you know? It's kind of fun. Oh, dear. It's sort of like the guy who, you know, he banged his head against the wall because when he quit, it felt good. And it's kind of the same kind of a deal. You know, I've been living for my 62nd year for a whole year now, and now I get to start it all over again, and so it feels really good. The value of understanding. Number one, anything that comes from God is valuable. If God has something to give you, you don't want to miss it. Now, the Scripture says that He is the giver of every good and perfect gift that cometh down from the Father of lights, in whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. God only gives good stuff. And one of the things, one of the many things that God wants to give is understanding. And so, look at this. I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and in all manner of workmanship. You're going to see how understanding affects your income, affects your ability to work, your employment, your vocation. It gives you the ability to devise cunning works. It comes from God in the shape, in the essence, in the content of understanding. Secondly, understanding is a qualification for government leadership. Here's the instruction of Scripture. Take you wise men and understanding, and that are known among your tribes, and I will make them rulers over you. Three things about government leaders. They need to be wise, they need to have understanding, and they need to be known. They need to be transparent. We need to know that their life backs up their confession. It's a qualification for government. Let me show you another verse. the children of Issachar, now watch it, they were men that had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. The greatest need in America right now is politicians with understanding who know what America ought to do. Now, everybody's got opinions. They go from left to right and up and down and forward and backwards, and some of them are crazy, and most of them are. I don't want you to miss this now. Understanding is the basis of being able to make wise political decisions for a nation, wise economic decisions for nations. And let me tell you something. Anything that is wrong morally is not good for us economically. Did you get that? Now, a man with understanding will make an a man without understanding will make economic decisions regardless of the moral issue. And that's the problem we have in Washington. We've got men who are running our economy and who do not care about the values. That's why on Tuesday we go to vote values. The biggest need in America is a return to its fundamental values upon which this nation was once built and founded. All right. Understanding it. Now, understanding means, watch this now, to understand is to comprehend the cause and effects in any given situation. In other words, you need to understand marriage, for example. And to have understanding in marriage means you will understand all the cause and effects that make a marriage what it should be or what detract from it, because you have understanding. You want to have understanding in economics. It means you comprehend the cause, all the cause and effects that are necessary to make a wise decision economically. And what we need in government is men who understand, because it's a big responsibility, it's worldwide. And right now, with the mounting atomic race for bombs again, and with the development of new kinds of bombs based on antimatter, the splitting of antimatter instead of splitting the atom, where we can have a bomb more powerful than the atomic bomb and hold it in the palm of a hand. And so we have much to be concerned about. And the biggest need we have right now is men in leadership who have understanding. Now, it is also to be a basic quality for judges. Give thy servant an understanding heart. For what purpose? To judge thy people. Now watch this, because it takes understanding that we may discern between good and bad. We are now in a predicament judicially with men in justice positions who can't tell the difference between good and bad. Most people think they know the difference between good and bad. The basis of being able to discern the difference between good and bad, however, is understanding. You can't know what is good and what is bad unless you have understanding. And so here we are. We're in a land where now everybody does what's right in his own eyes. Because without understanding, you can take something that's very wrong and call it right. You can take something that is an abomination and call it holy, because you don't have understanding. Understanding is necessary to judge. That means to adjudicate, to make judicial decisions. Scripture says, woe unto them that put good for evil and evil for good, bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. Woe. Woe unto them. Woe. That's an important word, W-O-E. It ought to be common word to us these days, because there's a lot of stuff going around with the only right response to it is, whoa. So understanding is what a person has to have in order to have the ability to know right from wrong. Fourthly, understanding enables you to see results in advance. This is kind of important. It is the key, because if you understand and comprehend the cause and effect rules that are taking place in any given situation, you know what the result's going to be. You can predict the end if you understand. So here we are. They are a nation that are void of counsel, and neither is there any understanding in them. A nation. By the way, I wish I had started my Bible software here, because watch this now, because in Isaiah, we are warned of a nation of people who don't have understanding. America is fast becoming that kind of a nation, where the lack of understanding is so widespread. And you will be absolutely frustrated, because what they are saying in the courts, decisions they're making in the law and in the administration, nothing makes any sense to you if you have understanding, because they're making decisions without understanding. Now, what happens when the whole nation rejects understanding, doesn't have it anymore? What do you do? Now, the surprising thing to me from the scripture, and I wish I could throw it up on the screen right now, but I missed it at the beginning, and I don't want to slow down too much here. Here's what the Lord says. In an understanding, in a land where there's no understanding, my people, for a season, will have to withdraw to their homes. Your home will become the safest place, because the place where there's understanding, when you get outside, you go various different directions. If there's lack of understanding, there's going to be turmoil. So watch this now. Because if they were wise and they understood, watch this, they would consider the end of the deal, the latter end, how things are going to turn out. Life should not be a lot of short trips down one-way streets, or cul-de-sacs, to dead-end streets, rather, and come back and look for another street, another dead-end street. You can spend 50, 60 years of your life going down dead-end streets. You can not know where you're going in life. You can be lost. But if you have understanding, as we will learn, you will know the path that you will take, and you will know the result in the end of the choices that you make, because you have understanding. And then, you like this one. Understanding enables a woman to save her husband. So, all the women are going to be after understanding as of today. Now, this is a story in the Bible that you ought to read. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 25. This is an amazing story. This is a story of a guy, a husband named Nabal, and his wife was Abigail. Now watch it, because she was a woman of good understanding, and she had a beautiful countenance. But the man was churlish and evil in his doings. He was vulgar. He was self-centered. He didn't give a flip about anybody and anything. And we got this story of how Nabal would not pay the proper amount to David's men for guarding his land and looking after his sheep and his shepherds. And so as a consequence, David is sending 200 armed soldiers to get what is rightfully his. And they're going to kill this guy. I mean, it's over for Nabal. He is done. And Nabal's wife, who had understanding, knew what was going to happen. And so she gathered some donkeys together and some of her helpers around the ranch, and they loaded up the camels with the goodies, and they went out to meet David. And when they met David, she bowed before David, and she made an appeal to David to save her husband's life. And David was amazed. The scripture says he was amazed at the understanding that this woman had. In fact, so much does he amazed at her that later on, let me tell you the rest of the story first. So he spared Nabal's life, and she was able to go back, and the soldiers left, went the other way, and her husband was drunk when she got home, but his life was spared because he had a wife who understood stuff, knew what action to take. And a few weeks later, Nabal dies. And David, the king, hears about the death of Nabal, the man whose life he spared because of his wife's understanding. And he sent for her. And he married her. One of the smart things David did was to marry a woman with understanding. And I don't want you to miss this. Because in all your shopping lists, girls for guys for girls, what you looking for to marry, what your expectations are, you want to put understanding at the top of the list. Does this man have understanding? Does this woman have understanding? So it enables a woman to save her husband. And then it becomes the proper basis of measuring a man. For example, how do you measure a man? Do you put a tape measure around his biceps or his chest? Do you measure a man by how much knowledge he's got? And by the way, God puts understanding way above knowledge. Because one of the risks is that you can go through an educational system and get full of knowledge and not have understanding. How do we measure a man? By how much money he's got? I want to suggest to you that God's measure of esteem for a man isn't how much boasting and macho and everything else he purports to have. It's how much understanding has he got. Look at this. God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much. Now, you're going to catch a little hint there. Where did this understanding come from? God. And he gave him largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the sea of the shore. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children. He was wiser than any man because he not only got wisdom, but he got understanding. And we're going to find that understanding and wisdom are so intimately connected, you can't have one without the other. All right. That's a way to measure a man. Then it brings prosperity. If you want financial blessing, only the Lord give thee wisdom and understanding and give thee charge concerning Israel so you can keep the laws of the Lord. And look at this, because then you'll make your way prosper. Prosperity is a natural offspring of having understanding. People don't make a lot of money who don't have understanding. Now, we're going to cover the categories of understanding, but you need to understand the ways of God, because it's God that gives you the power to create wealth. You need to understand God's principles of economics. And if you do, then the scripture says that you'll prosper. And then it prepares people for great achievement. Now, this is in the story of Nehemiah. And by the way, this is verse 7 and 8 in chapter 8. And if you go a few verses earlier, the people, he brought all the people together, and they read the laws of God from morning till the middle of the afternoon. And then certain men caused the people to understand the law. And the people stood in their place for hours. And so, look at this. They read the law of God distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. This had to be done before they took on the job of rebuilding the walls and the city of Jerusalem. That was the big task. Before you take on a big task, you want to have understanding. It is preparation for great achievement. And so we have the rest of the story of Nehemiah. These people did miraculous things that said that could not be done. But because they got understanding from the laws of God, they were able to. And then it's a cause for celebration. And this is still in Nehemiah. After they finished understanding the law, the people went their way and they were celebrating. How did they celebrate? To eat, to drink, and to send food to friends, other people, and to make merry. Why were they celebrating? Look at this. Because they had understood the words that were declared unto them. That's why, after you've been in church, if you have picked up any understanding, you should go away rejoicing. Say, wow, look, I understand something now I didn't understand before. When God gives you something, a new understanding, it's the basis, it's the cause to what to celebrate, to celebrate, because God has given you understanding that will never leave, and it's got so many blessings buried in, as we're going to see. And then understanding is what qualifies us to give counsel. How would you like somebody who didn't have understanding to advise you as to what to do? Let men of understanding tell me. Let the men of understanding speak to me. In fact, look at this next verse. Counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. You go to a counselor that has understanding, you got a chance of getting some good advice. In fact, you may know some of the answers buried deep in your heart yourself, but you just can't get them out. And a wise counselor will ask you questions because he has understanding. He's going to lead you until he is able to draw out of you the answers that are buried in you you didn't even know you had. A man of understanding draws out of you wise counsel. So understanding is what it takes. And then it is prized by God. The Lord is looking for people of understanding. The Lord looked down from heaven upon all the children of men. And what is he looking for? To see if there were any that did understand. This is the problem. Because the lack of understanding leads to moral degradation. And you can find this in Romans chapter 1. They put aside their understanding. So it's prized by God. And then it is the basis of true freedom. Now, here is the instruction from the Lord to each of us. Don't be as the horse or the mule. Don't be a donkey. Don't be a jackass. Don't be a horse. Now watch this. Don't be a mule which has no understanding. Watch now. Because a horse or a mule that does not have understanding, look at what? His mouth must be held in with a bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. In other words, they have no control over themselves because they don't have understanding. They don't know what they're supposed to do, what they're not supposed to do. They don't understand. They haven't been trained. They haven't been taught. And though God comes and he says, no, don't be like the horse and don't be like the mule. Because without understanding, you will require, ready? A bit and a bridle. You'll require pressures from outside yourself to keep you within the laws of the land. to keep you half functional. You will need pressures from outside. God says, don't be like that. Because with understanding, you don't require anybody to police you. You don't have to have anybody pressuring you to go the right way because you understand. Because you understand, you go the right way. You do what you should do because you have understanding. So watch this. Don't miss this now. Don't be like the mule. And some people will only do right if they're coerced, if they're manipulated, if they are pressured from outside. And so don't be like that, God says, those who have no understanding, because they require a bit of bridle. We're going to learn that understanding is to be taught right after babyhood. You're going to find in the scripture that who will he teach understanding? Those who are drawn from the breast. Those who are weaned from the milk. Understanding doesn't start until you enter childhood from babyhood. And then it's accumulative. Now, it would appear from scripture that the ideal goal that God has for us is to have accumulated sufficient understanding by the age of 12. That's when the Jewish people celebrate the bar mitzvah. And I say celebrate, but celebrate, because what should we celebrate? Understanding. This young man is entering manhood. Remember, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now, the unfortunate thing today is that we have men who have never put away childish things. And they are years and years down the track, and they still behave and function like children. What a tragedy. Childhood training is where the training for understanding begins. Now, here's the application I want to make with this. If you have a child that gets understanding, by the time he's 12 or 15 or 18 or wherever it happens, you don't have to tell him what to do anymore. You don't have to have a bit in his mouth and a bridle. You don't have to yank on the bridle to get him to go the right direction. In other words, the key to freedom for a teenager is to get understanding. Because when you got understanding, nobody's going to want to put the bit and the bridle on you. You follow that? It's the basis of real freedom. Now, the more we lack understanding in a nation, the more laws we're going to have. Because the laws are like the bit and the bridle. So we got to keep, how many thousands of laws do we have to have now? And we do, because the law is trying to keep social rectitude and not have chaos. And so all these laws are passed to act as bridle to keep people from doing what, if they had understanding, they would never do. Follow that? Okay, so it's the basis of true freedom. Understanding. Understanding is a necessary ingredient of true worship. God is king of all the earth. Now watch this. Sing you praises with understanding. Don't ever mistake being out in the euphoria of music la-la land as worship. Worship requires understanding. What's going on when we worship? Some people just jump into an emotional routine, have no idea what it's about. When they finish, they feel good. That's why music has changed. One of the reasons music has changed so much, and now it's become repetitive, 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 and its intent is almost to tranquilize. Hymns are progressive in thought. They are theologically and biblically based. They are linear. They transition from one thought to another thought to another thought, and they gather momentum and celebrate it in the refrain. That requires thinking to go on, because you are contemplating, comprehending, you are understanding truths. You are understanding that what you're doing, if it's worship, is you'll understand that God is the audience. And it's He that you want to affect by whether you sing or whether you say or whether you clap your hands. It's to Him. So understanding is a necessary ingredient for worship. It is to be the primary substance of thought. As you're beginning to see probably now, understand, this is a big subject. My mouth shall speak of wisdom, and the meditation of my heart shall be of understanding. This ought to be the main substance of our musing, of our contemplation, is to get understanding, seeking to understand. And so, let it be the meditation of our heart. It's what makes the difference between an animal and a man and a woman as God designed them. Man that is in honor. Now, let me talk about that phrase for a minute. Man that is in honor. Man that is being a man as God designed him in his honorable position. Did you know that? It is an honorable position to be a man or a woman. But if you're in that honor position, and you understand not, then he is like the beasts that perish. A man who is designed by God to be in honor, but doesn't have understanding, is like a beast. Now, there's a lot of applications of this. A man without understanding will make decisions like a beast will make decisions. And that kind of reflects back to what we started on Wednesday night, doesn't it? We either make decisions based on our flesh, the dictates of our body, or of the Spirit. If you live after the flesh, you will die. But if you after the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. A person without understanding is totally glandular. They are controlled by their glands. They're controlled by their bodies. They're controlled by emotions instead of understanding. And that reduces a person from the honorable position of the human race to the same category as the beast of the field. Everybody follow that? Okay. I know it's not good news, but this is the way it is. Let me show you one more verse about this. The man that wanders out of the way of understanding, he groups himself. He shall remain in the congregation of the dead. In fact, he has no life in him. He has no direction, has no purpose, has no zeal. He is to be dead, dead in the full humanity sense. He's like the beast of the field. And they just do their routines out of control. They are managed by instincts of which they are not the author. Now that's the difference between a human and an animal, one of them. Animals are ruled by the laws of instinct. Beavers build dams, cats meow, dogs bark, cows moo, horses hee-haw. Well, you know the rest of them. Bees hum, I guess. They can't help it. They do that. They are locked in. But man is in a position of honor. He is a thinking, contemplating being who has the ability to make decisions. He's not locked in. God doesn't want you ruled by your bodies. Doesn't want you ruled by animal instincts. Doesn't want you ruled by your glands. Doesn't want you ruled by your emotions. He wants you to live in this honorable position of humanity, which he designed to be a place of understanding. And understanding is what makes the difference between someone developing their full humanity and someone who's like the beast of the field. Now, try and reason with one of the beasts of the field. Try and get them to think. Try and get them to contemplate. Try to make them to make right decisions, responsible decisions. It's not going to happen because they don't have understanding. This is a primary purpose of educating our children, is to teach them understanding, and they will be honorable and not wander other way of understanding. Now, understanding is a cure for poverty. Understanding is a cure for poverty. Now, one of the problems is that poor people are usually dominated by rich people. You can find that in the book of James. That's why God lays tremendous charge upon those with means. See, watch now. The poor and the needy need to get out of the hand of the wicked because they are controlled. And we have generational passing on of lack of understanding from one generation to the next. And these people will have a cycle of poverty that will never be broken because they have no way to get understanding because the wicked are oppressive. The wicked don't want them to understand where the real profits are in business. They want them to work at the $6 an hour job the rest of their life. You follow that? And so there is an oppression and a depression of the poor and the needy. And God says what they need to get is understanding. Deliver the poor and needy. Get them rid out of the hands of the wicked. Because their problem is they don't know and they don't understand. And they just keep walking on doing the same thing their fathers did and their fathers did. And to them, here's where they put the blame. They just call it bad luck. All the foundations of the earth, nothing's working. They're all out of course. Nothing's working right for me. The cure for poverty is to get understanding. Understanding enables us to value the thoughts of God. Oh, how mighty is this. Oh, Lord, how great are thy works. And thy thoughts are very deep. A crude man doesn't know them. And a fool does not understand this. They have no appreciation for the high thoughts of God. They're mockers. You go to talk to them about God and they scoff. You go to talk to them about God and they call you a religious nut. They have already written off God. They have no esteem for the thoughts of God because they have no understanding. Now watch this. That is why people today will place their thoughts higher than God's thoughts. when we have understanding, understand who God is, understand He's the creator of everything, you understand He masterminded the whole universe. He designed you personally. When you understand God, then you begin to value the thoughts of God. So, turning to this book and looking up a scripture becomes a major driving zeal in your life. Hardly wait to get there to see what God says about this, because we esteem the thoughts of God. A person without understanding will curse God. A person without understanding will ignore God. A person without understanding will mock the things of God. But once a person gets understanding, oh God, how magnificent are your ways, how high. And you say like Isaiah, remember how Isaiah said it? My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith God. For as high as the heavens above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours, saith the Lord. Now, how high are the heavens above the earth? If you don't have understanding, you have no idea. You might think it's only cloud level. You might think it's only moon level. You might think it's only sun level. But when you have understanding, this wonderful being of God put the hosts of galaxies into the universe, and He calls them all by name. And now He offers to share with me His thoughts . I tell you, beloved, this is the greatest thrill in life, to discover how God thinks. But a man without understanding is like the beast of the field, just follows his glands, locked himself into a few devices of distraction. He knows how to do the meaningless passage of time. But when you have understanding, oh, the thoughts of God become your blessed contemplation. And they are esteemed, like Job said, I esteem them of more than my necessary food. So when a person doesn't have respect or appreciation for the thoughts of God, they only prove lack understanding. They're called by God in the scriptures. It's the simple. Simpleton. Fools. Because they don't have understanding. Then, what a great scripture. Want to memorize a scripture with me this week? Here's one. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, faints not, he's not weary. There's no searching of his understanding. You can never, in your pursuit of understanding, get to where you know everything God knows. But boy, if you take his thoughts, watch this now, which are way up here, and they're found in this book. If you can take the thoughts of God, which are way up here, and put them in you way down here, his thoughts become your thoughts, and that's the way to have more understanding. Enables us to speak of the wonders of God. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. Look at this, because once you have an understanding of how God works, how life works, how everything fits together, what are the cause and effect relationships, I will talk of thy wondrous works. It will be the natural response when we understand the way of God's precepts. Wow. When we speak of the wonders of God, you know what the world needs today is not a Christian witness that's got three sentences memorized and four verses of scripture and goes door to door and tries to pump out this little canned deal. What the world needs today is to hear somebody speak about the wonders of God. Because they don't know Him. You talk about His wonders. And if you have understanding about the precepts of the ways, the testimonies of God, you are able to talk about the wonders of God because we have understanding. Oh my. And it just comes out. Let me see if I can explain this. I don't know much about sewing. I couldn't sew those curtains together or save my life. I might be able to find out how to do it and do it. But I don't understand. I wouldn't understand how to weave a piece of cloth like that hanging on the wall over there. But there are people who do. And if we could talk to the person who understands being a seamstress, if we could talk to the person who understands how to weave tapestries, that person would have no problem talking about it. I mean, they wouldn't have to get out a book and give you a little lecture. It would just flow out of them because they understand it. Do you find that? You follow that? Now, it's the same thing when you understand God. We don't have to prepare some little message. It just comes out. It oozes out because we have understanding of God. And so we're able to speak of the wonders of God because we understand God. Now, it empowers us to wholeheartedly keep the laws of God. This is really kind of neat. Give me understanding, and I will be able to keep your law. In fact, if you give me understanding, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Now, at a very young age, our parents lay down some rules, and we may buck at them, and we may buck at them, especially during teenage years. And you've heard how many testimonies of people who said, the older I got, the wiser my father was. And we got these rules laid on us by parents. And if you don't understand those laws, you should follow them anyhow. But once you understand them, that they are going to benefit you, they're going to salvage you, they are going to keep you out of trouble, then you start to follow those same laws with a whole heart. What makes the difference between following the law, like slavishly, well, I have to do this because it's the law, versus being like David, who said, oh, how love I thy law. Like David, who said, I delight to do thy will, O God. What changes? I tell you, what makes the difference is understanding. When you understand, look at the scripture, give me understanding, and I will keep your laws. In fact, God, with my whole heart will I observe them. Because understanding lets you see the value of the laws. Instead of rejecting the laws, or disregarding the laws, or disobeying the laws, and getting into trouble, getting into difficulty, and getting into oppression and depression, instead of being mentally cloudy. Oh, if you get understanding, you keep the laws, and now you do it with understanding, now the laws become a delightful thing to do because you understand. Follow that? Understanding, then, is the key to keeping the laws of God zealously. This includes the laws. If you understand the value of not running red lights, it will not be hard to put the brake on when you get to a red light. The temptation to hit the wrong pedal at the last second when you could have stopped at the yellow, is gone. Why? Because you understand the benefits, the safety that's designed. Understanding. If, oh God, I want understanding, then I'll keep your laws and I'll observe them. Yes, oh God, with my whole heart. And that's the kind of people. See, the laws aren't grievous stuff. They don't irritate us. They don't bother us. The laws aren't designed to encumber you and to oppress you and to spoil your good time. The laws, like David said, I delight. Oh, how love I thy law. Because he understood the cause and effect and the dynamics behind the laws and the intentions of God and why laws exist. So it doesn't become difficult to obey. It becomes a delight. And then understanding motivates learning. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I might learn. Give me understanding that I might learn thy commandments. Once you start to understand stuff, then you want to learn the rules, how it works, how stuff works. And you can apply that to any area of life, but it motivates learning. And then it enables us to comprehend God's testimonies, God's evidence. I am thy servant. Give me understanding so I can know the evidence that you give. Because without it, I'll reject it. It takes understanding. And then understanding is a life-giving force. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall have life. I shall live. It comes from understanding. In fact, this is one of my favorite verses for years. Understanding, look at this now, it's a wellspring of life to him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. Understanding will bring your feeling level, your emotional level, your mental health level, your optimism, your ability to be excited, it will raise it to high levels if you have understanding. If you don't have understanding, it's like muddling around in a maze. It's like the what's the guy that goes around on the treadmill? Hamster on a treadmill, and that's what your life becomes until you get understanding. And then when you have understanding, well, it is a vista, it is a fountain. It's a wellspring of fully good things that are alive will spring up out of you. Understanding is what brings that. A wellspring of life to him that hath it. And then it provides a clue to God's greatness. Understanding is a clue to the greatness of God. Great is the Lord, a great power. His understanding is infinite. And so this is what spurs us on in the pursuit of God. This is what fires the soul. This is what gets you as quick as you can to get duties done and get the Bible open, get the software going on your screen with scriptures. And you can hardly wait to pursue it because there is so much more to understand. His understanding is infinite. And so we get to pursue great understanding. And then it delivers us from evil men and evil women. I'm going to spend a couple of moments on this one. By the way, there are 53 of these so far. You're going to get the other half next Sunday morning. So, and I've really gone fast and haven't expounded very much this morning, but let me spend a moment here. This is critically important. Discretion shall preserve you. Understanding shall keep you. Now watch the scripture. To deliver thee from the way of evil men. Of the evil man. Two verses later. To deliver thee from the strange woman. Even the stranger. Which flattereth. With her words. The difference between those who commit immorality and those who don't is whether or not they have understanding. Let me give you another scripture. Ready? Listen, we're going to come to this later. He that committeth adultery with a woman lacks understanding. Duh. Understanding separates the honored mankind from the beasts of the field. Without understanding, we are as the beasts. And I tell you that widespread from border to border and ocean to ocean today, we have become beasts. Because we have not understanding. And the immoralities that range from early years in life, and men of age and men of experience who don't have understanding stay in it. Understanding will keep you to deliver you from the way of the evil man. Now, I don't know if I got any room on the screen. I'm looking for, yeah, here's a little spot. Old diagram. I'd like to have a new one, but I don't have a new one. Remember this one? The path of life. This is the path of life, and you're walking along the path of life. And at various places on the path of life, you will intersect an evil man. And when you get there, this evil man wants to lead you in this direction. Now watch this now. This is a critical moment. At that moment, when you are enticed by an evil man or by an evil woman who's flattering, I mean, we're talking about major temptation. These people have the ability to tempt. Just read the rest of this passage in Proverbs that we're dealing with. And it will describe her and it will describe the man. They use personal persuasion. They use flattering words. They use certain choices from the clothing design industry. They use certain cosmetics and certain perfumes. It's all there in the book of Proverbs. And if we are still like the beasts of the field when we meet them, without understanding, we'll be trapped. At that critical moment when an evil man or an evil woman shows up in your life and gives you the opportunity to do what they advertise and what they glamorize, as you'll be missing if you don't get the love. I mean, just take the... The good man's away from home. He's not coming home for a few days, and we can have a good time. We can have a party, man. Come on. Understanding at that moment will keep you. Deliver you at this critical junction right here with understanding. Now watch this. If you get enough understanding, And you can. And 2 weeks from now, I'm going to show you how to get the understanding. How do you get it? How do you get it? And when I show you how to get it and you get sufficient understanding, the evil man and the evil woman lose their enticing powers. You know from the news this week? I don't know about you, but I've felt sick all week. I've been heart sick all week. I was stationed in Moscow for a little over a year and a half. I'd moved there from Latvia, Lithuania, Estonia. I'm based out of Moscow, and I ministered all the way over to Siberia. While I was in Moscow, I went to one of the hotels where I heard there was a big Christian event going on. And to my amazement, one of my childhood friends was speaking at the conference. So I could hardly wait for him to sit down. I didn't want to wave to him. If he saw me there in Moscow, he might have forgot what he was supposed to be saying. But as soon as he was over, I went up and we wrapped our arms around each other and had a great reunion. And he introduced me that night to Ted Haggard, who was there. And of course, if you're in Moscow for any length of time for any kind of meetings, back in those days, it's hard to find decent food. So they wanted to know if I knew any decent food in town. Of course, I had enough experience and I had a vehicle there and I could get us there. So I took him to Pizza Hut. That's as decent as it used to get in Moscow. Or McDonald's. Only one McDonald's in Russia, was all, in Moscow. And the lines to get to McDonald's were hundreds of feet long to get anyhow. That night, I spent 2 hours with Ted Haggard. I found him to be a gentle, sincere, caring. Wise man. And we had 2 hours of wonderful talk. It wasn't about football or something, sports, although he's an avid follower of sports. We talked about the things of the Lord, the things of Russia, the things of the ministry. And I have not been face-to-face with Ted Haggard before. These 15 years or whatever has been, more than that. But I've watched them from afar. And so when this news broke this week, I was like, it's like devastating. I still haven't got over the mourning stage yet. Still mourn. I know what the newspaper and the headlines are. I don't know what the truth is. I don't know how deep this thing is. I remember what Bill Gothard teaches in the seminar, that the problem with accusations, no matter what they are, there's a little bit of truth in them. And that's what makes it hard to ever defend, even because there's enough truth to. But I thought to myself several things this week. One, there is a difference, because the headlines are saying, talking about the evangelical hypocrite, evangelical hypocrisy, and that may be true. I don't know. But I want to tell you this. There is a difference between a hypocrite and somebody who fails. If you take a well-meaning person who fails, unfortunately, there's a whole lot of people who line up, say, yay, he's a hypocrite. I knew he was a hypocrite. And what he really is somebody who failed. And I make no judgment on this. It's too early.
But I want you to be clear about this. There's a difference between a hypocrite and somebody who fails. Is there anybody here who hasn't failed? Second thing that happened to me in response to this was I need to judge myself. I need to look at my life. Judgment must begin at the house of the Lord. This is a signal, beloved, because the whole world is against Christ right now. America is against Christ. Politicians are against Christ. The judicial system is against Christ. They say you can pray, but don't use the name of Jesus if you're in the military, in the armed force. Did you know they ruled that? You've read Judge Roy Moore's article recently. He was there in the court, made appeal to the court on behalf of a Air Forceman chaplain. Not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus. And the judge says it's against the law. You leave Jesus out and you can pray. It is the spirit of Antichrist that now works. And we're just seeing the beginnings. And this is what I want. What I wanted to learn from this experience this week. Two things. There's three altogether. First one, I already told you about. Somebody who fails is not a hypocrite. But number two is I was going to have a brief meeting with the men after church this morning, but I won't say some of the things now. And I'd like every man to jot down this scripture, Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. And let me tell you what it says. Let us walk circumspectly as wise, not fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Let me say it again. And I want to say it to all the men in the church. I want you to join me with the scripture. Let us walk circumspectly. Now that word, let me tell you what circumspectly means. Let us walk with precision, exactness, accuracy. No place for the flesh. Make no provision. No place for the devil. Let us walk circumspectly as wise and not fools, redeeming the time for the days are evil. Now, I want to take this phrase for the days are evil. It applies to redeeming the time because the days are evil, but that phrase also applies to this. Let us walk circumspectly. Because the days are evil. We must have no low standards at all. We must have no mediocre standards. The third thing I learned this week was, in fact, this. Need to develop understanding. And so let me ask you this. Let me just lay it out there. Do you have sufficient understanding right now to deliver thee from the way of evil men? Do you have sufficient understanding at this moment to deliver you from the way of strange women? who flatter with their mouth. And probably everybody's saying, yeah, I've sure I do. So let me ask the question a different way. Do you have sufficient understanding to deliver you from desiring, coveting, wanting the way of an evil woman? That's a lot different, isn't it? You see, it's easy to put the brakes on. If you get a certain amount of understanding, you can put the brakes on, I won't do this. But still want it in your heart. Your eyes still go roving. If you couldn't get caught and wouldn't get caught, you'd want to do things. And a person who still has those inbred desires can overcome them by getting sufficient understanding. Now, I'm going to address this subject more clearly because what I can't give you because of time restraint this morning, but I will give you, I promise you I will. I will give you the specific steps on how to get sufficient understanding that will deliver you from the way of evil men, the desire of the way of evil men, and delivery from the strange woman and from the desire to have strange woman. The key is understanding. It delivers us from evil men and evil women. He that commits adultery with a woman lacks understanding. Back to my Ephesians 5. On every young man, every man, married, young, single, old, every man. Let us walk circumspectly as wise and not fools, redeeming the time because the days are evil. God is good, the devil's bad. Satan wants to destroy you and yours. The way to stop him is to get sufficient understanding. Because then you will understand and comprehend the cause and effects and the end results and the dynamic. And you will not live the rest of your life in a human body, but act like the beasts of the field. Your deliverance will be sweet. You will have control. Zealously, joyfully, you will want to go by the laws of God with whole heart if you get understanding. Now, lastly, understanding. This is so valuable, so big. So important. And when you get it, it will become the source of your happiness. Happy is the man that finds wisdom. And happy is the man that gets understanding.
We trust this teaching has been a blessing to you. For further information on other teaching and series topics, please visit our website at nothingbutthetruth.us or call us toll-free at 1-888-THE-TRUTH. That's 1-888-438-7884.